are becoming the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. Oh yes, of His Christ.
Tell somebody, Ghana is free. The church is free. Therefore, Ghana is free. Amen. We give thanks to the Lord and we bless Him, our King, Jesus Christ, Word of God, Creator, Savior, and hope of the human race. Blessed be the Holy Spirit, for the testimony about Jesus Christ as Savior of man and the world. The Spirit of the Lord led us through a survey of the human story yesterday. We noted the nature of the human tragedy caused by sin, the disobedience of the Creator's commandments because of man's desire and decision to be God unto himself, that man wants to direct and control his own affairs as a free, independent, and autonomous spirit being. It was through the Eve-Adam disobedience that sin took the center stage of human life, placing man in captivity to sin, that is, Satan and death on one hand, and the wrath and judgment of God on the other. The abiding and overwhelming reality of the human life is that of human corruptibility and mortality, human weakness, hopelessness, and futility due to the reign of sin and standing divine wrath and judgment. This is the background to the coming and mission of Jesus Christ as Savior of the world. Yesterday, we were led through the complete nature and consequences of sin, the power of sin, and satanic oppression and molestation of sinful man. It is for this cause Christ came to save his brethren from sin and reestablish a new spiritual and social order of peace, righteousness, and joy in God, and glory for the human race. I think you will not forget the whole deliberation about Jesus being our brother. And those of you who were here yesterday, I hope you remember that and stand on that promise. We were introduced to the four salvation mechanism and set order established by Jesus Christ for the salvation of man. The beautiful and assuring lesson we learn from the Christ salvation system is that it provides a perfect, guaranteed, and secured system of life, a life of peace and reconciliation, justification, righteousness, victory, and victory over Satan and death. A life of surety of eternal life and glory in full divine nature for man. Man has been truly established as brother of Christ and child of God in and after Jesus Christ, the Savior. Today's testimony, as we announced at the beginning of the festival, is behold, Jesus Christ, the healer. behold Jesus Christ, the healer. Christ the Savior is today Christ the healer. Amen. It is not difficult, beloved, a proposition to testify about Jesus Christ as the healer. There are four distinct scriptures that we want to use today to testify of him as healer. The first one is Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And it goes, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." This was a prophecy by the prophet Isaiah some 400 years before even Jesus was born, to come and die on the cross and take on our iniquities, our chastisement, and die in our place. The prophet saw this, and he didn't see. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him to tell that there is coming a time that salvation, healing shall come. God shall raise a man, and he brings healing to the nations. By his stripes, what? We shall be healed. You know, he was wounded for our transgression. You see, that's the sin factor. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's human behavior patterns, which also bring problems to us in society. He was chastised for our peace, and upon him, by his stripes, what? We are healed. When Isaiah was prophesying this, the God creator and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the word of God, knows that there's a mission ahead of him, that he will come and bear stripes on his back. So he gave a foretaste, not forewarning. He gave a foretelling story. He's telling humanity that I'm on my way coming. Let's clap for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then he appeared. In Matthew 4, 23 and 24, we hear. "Now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people." As I saw his coming, as I spoke of his building the kingdom in Isaiah 9 and 6. "Now when he came, he took the message, the gospel of the kingdom. He started teaching in the name church, the synagogues. And he didn't end there. He took on the ministry of healing of all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease or maladies among the people." There was a prophecy he was coming to do it. He came and he got involved in it. In Acts chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, the apostle Peter, in testifying of who Jesus is in Cornelius' house, spoke of him. "They have been with him. By that time, Christ had risen and gone." Let the Spirit of the Holy Spirit testify of Jesus Christ today as the healer. Peter was also telling the congregation in Cornelius' house about this man called what? Jesus. And what did he say? "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Peter was testifying about this Jesus that had come and gone. This Jesus that was hidden in Matthew 4:23. That Jesus was telling some people, like we are telling you today, that at the time he was living, he did good. Wherever he went, he did good. And one factor which you come to comment on later is this. The Spirit was upon him. There was an identification that this is the Son of God that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. That was John the Baptist's testimony. There was a confirmation that, behold, the Lamb of God that draws what? Takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist did say that. Now he came and he walked in the steps of the prophecy and the identification of John the Baptist. And now an apostle that he raised, who was with him, is testifying before other people who had not met him before, but who the Spirit of God had told that they should send for because they needed to know more. They were religious people. Cornelius was a great religious man. He may be a Muslim or a Hinduist or African or traditional religious person in Africa. But they have been seeking for God, and the thing that they were taught were not of the truth. But God has seen the purity of their heart and the endeavor and diligence, excursion, and search for the true God. And God decided, I will answer them. So he sent Peter, go and tell them that the God they have been looking for, tell them who he is. I spoke about religion a few hours, minutes ago. So Peter appeared reluctantly, as it were, in Cornelius' house. Because Cornelius was what? A Gentile. And Peter was a religious person. He had not yet become a true Christian. You remember, it was in Cornelius' house that he even remembered that, oh, what happened on the day of Pentecost was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, he didn't know it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Though the Holy Spirit spoke through him to testify about Jesus Christ. He was still a young Christian. He was a very young Christian. Had been with Jesus for 3 years. Had never seen anybody baptized. And he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. And he himself was a spokesman on the day of Pentecost. But he didn't know that this would... He had experienced on the day of Pentecost was the baptism of the Holy Spirit which Jesus Christ spoke about. So when he was speaking to the Gentile people in a foreign country, then the Holy Spirit appeared and baptized the people, because Peter would not have prayed for them to be baptized. He was a religious person. The Gentiles are not worthy of the power of God. Hallelujah. And so the Holy Spirit came. In my little economics, exogenously, he came by himself. Peter did not pray that they should receive the Holy Ghost. He was not even thinking about that. He was only testifying of Jesus. But who is the baptizer? Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, he came down and baptized the people himself to prove to them, I am here, Peter. So Peter was excited. And he told them, this Jesus I'm talking about, this Jesus of Nazareth, he was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good. There's a key here. We'll come back to it. Then there's a fourth one. And that was another apostle. This is another, the same Peter again. And he was referring to Isaiah's prophecy in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 24 and 25. And this is what Peter said. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I just love that. Jesus had sacrificed his life on the tree. The stripes that Isaiah spoke about have become a reality. He's ascended, he's gone. He died, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, he rose again, ascended to heaven. Now comes the reality of the stripes. While he was being whipped, nobody would have been thinking about the stripes being an open door of healing. Then on this day, Peter was telling the people that this Jesus, by whom we are born again, this seed, this incorruptible seed by which you are born again, this same Jesus, who have taken our sins in his own body on the tree, he has made provision for our healing by his stripes. The testimony of the Holy Spirit through the prophets and the apostles show clearly that the healing ministry of Jesus Christ is based on three things. First, the sacrifice of his blood and life on the tree at Calvary. We are talking about Jesus as healer and his healing power, which the church has inherited, is based, first of all, on what? The sacrifice he made. The sacrifice of blood and life on the tree at Calvary Cross. This is what Isaiah spoke about. Our iniquities, our transgressions were laid upon him on the tree. And by his stripes we shall be healed. Man will be healed. So the dying on the cross, the blood that was shed, and the whipping experience on the cross, on the way to Calvary, are all embodied in the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. It provided a spiritual mechanism, authority, and power system, not only for the remission of sins and redemption of souls, but also for meeting and abating the consequences of sin on the spirit, soul, and body of man. Let me repeat. The blood that was shed on Calvary provided a spiritual mechanism, authority, and power system, not only for the remission of sins and redemption of souls, but also for meeting and abating the consequences of sin on the spirit, soul, and body of man. We learned yesterday, as a savior, he dealt with sin, the power of sin, the gift of the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the gift. You need a healing anointing before that will be operative, even though you can talk about the blood and the stripes. Amen. The church can also tap on the divine anointing and power of Jesus Christ through connecting to him and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who anointed with power, and through a call on the name of Jesus Christ, the healer himself. If you have anointing, or people don't have anointing, but there's a crisis, what they do? They can call upon the name of whom? Because he is what? He is the healer. So if you can, he said, ask everything what? In my name. If you haven't got the anointing, but there's a crisis of healing, what do you do? Call upon the mighty name of whom? Jesus. And diseases will hear, and the disease will rot, they will obey. Because that name Jesus also comes with the power of the blood that was shed. So if the elders lay hand, as we said the other day, and they pray over you, and your sins are forgiven according to James, you shall be healed. Because Jesus has already done what? Shed the blood. And the stripes were completed. And the anointing has come. Let's clap for Jesus Christ. Amen. The healing power anointing of Jesus Christ on the church. We are now. From the analysis of Jesus' ministry, his blood sacrifice and stripes on the cross, and his legacy of Holy Spirit anointing for healing is a true and spiritual system and reality which cannot be disputed. That Jesus is a healer and that the church can heal in his name cannot be disputed. It's for this cause, among others, that the Holy Spirit has come to equip the church with power to witness of Christ and tap on the healing ministry and power of Jesus Christ. The testimony so far that we have had here, that Jesus is the Word of God. Yesterday, we learned that Jesus is what? Savior. For salvation mechanism system. Today, our testimony is what? Jesus is healer through the Christ presence and healing anointing upon the church and the church ministry. I want to conclude by calling your attention to another system. This legacy of healing Jesus as healer that the church has inherited. Jesus gives a guidance of the healing ministry. You see, they say he lead good. He healed all diseases. But he gave a direction or a model for our consideration by the church. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 5, we learn that when John the Baptist sent John and his brother to go and find out from Jesus, are you the one what we are waiting for, or look we for what? Another. Jesus told them, I think I'll read mine. Matthew 11, 5. You want to join me as I read? He said, in Matthew 11, 4, he said, Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the Baptist, which you hear and see, the things which you hear and see. And what did he say? Out of it, go, the blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. This is a model. I consider this as a model for the church healing ministry, which we derive from Christ. I'm talking about a legacy of healing, healing and deliverance ministry in the church. The Lord said, the Bible said, Jesus went healing. But in this verse, I'm trying to suggest that, or we are trying to suggest that, Jesus has shown us a kind of model. And when we have the healing ministry, people of God, then we should consider these possibilities. He said, five. First one, the blind receive sight. The blind receive sight. Today, they may call it not healing, but they will call it what? Miracle. The blind, a blind man, totally born blind, receives sight. A partially blind man receives sight. The eye impaired man received healing. And the scene becomes more clear. When I was a young, in those days, I didn't like spectacles at all. And we could pray and people would throw their spectacles away and they would see clearly. So I met Satan face to face. And we had an encounter, and it affected my eyes. And so later on, my eyes started giving me trouble. It would swell and all kinds of things. Whenever I went anywhere and there's a spiritual activity, my eyes would start bleeding and would get big and it would become red. Then I know that I'm in an area where spiritual activities are deep. Then I know how to react. It got to the extent that my eye is gone. But I know the Lord will heal me. You see, I got my eye disturbed because of an encounter with Lucifer face on face in ministry, in the spirit. So he, Reverend Paul Takiyabo was telling us, remind you of the woman who went and touched what? Jesus. You can touch Jesus today and you can get healed, provided you believe. He said, the blind what? Receive sight. I'm saying here, the healing here doesn't mean only physical what? Blindness. There can be people who are spiritually what? Blind. They cannot see things. You are speaking to them about God. Their minds can't comprehend. They cannot see the things you see spiritually. I'm not talking about sight, spiritual eyes that you can. Oh no, I'm talking about their spiritual understanding, spiritual sight. Their minds are blocked. Their eyes are blocked by Satan. And they cannot see. And they cannot. But the healing power of Christ, the anointing on you, can break that power. And the person can see. And he will understand what? Spiritual things. For spiritual things are what? Spiritually designed. I'm saying that the healing power there, it's not just that the blind are seeing. The blind see. There are people who are spiritually what? Blind. And they can see. And there are people who are also what? Physically blind. And they will see. So also the lame walk. The lame walk. Hebrews says that when there's a lame person, don't press him and kill him. But what? Raise him. In the church, there are lame people. They are not walking a package. But spiritually, they are what? Lame. They have been in the church and they are never growing. They have been in the church and they are never growing. If they learn, very soon what? They forget or they backslide. Not that they didn't get it, but they are lame. Spiritually, they are weak and they cannot contain heavy things. So you give him a heavy thing, anybody, somebody, the thorns of the world, then it chokes him. He cannot grow. But there can be a worship in the church. There can be what? Worship. When there's a high level of worship and the Spirit of God is moving, the lame can walk. This man who cannot understand spiritual things shall jump on his feet. And now I can see. Once I what? I was blind. But now what? I can see. Once I was what? Lame. But now what? I can walk. So the healing ministry need not be just physically handicapped or physically challenged, they say. But spiritually, people can be challenged. They are making all efforts to worship God. They are learning at school. And they are not learning. And therefore you can pray. And the healing power of Christ can what? Touch the brain. Release the mind. Release the nerves. Release the arteries. Release the person. And he can walk now. There is a ministry of healing in the church. Some of these things come mostly by proper worship in the church. And proper teaching of the gospel. Worship is a powerful way in which you can see people delivered of diverse kinds of what? Sicknesses. So you don't need to be laying hands on people falling and traveling. But the healing can move. Praise the Lord. The healing can what? Move. So the lame can what? Walk. People, students that are not making it, and they are in worship, and we are praying, and they open the heart. The mind can be what? And healing has come. He's not mad that you say, I conjure that spirit out. But he's physically, spiritually what? Handicapped. Mentally handicapped. And healing can come. Amen. Amen. The next one, the lepers or what? Are cleansed. There are people that are lepers in the spirit. The lepers The fingers are cut. The teeth, the mouths are twisted. The eyes are all kinds of things. And Jesus healed them physically, but spiritually too. People can be healed. Leprosy in the spirit can be healed. Somebody can have a curse on him, and it's not making progress. People talk about businessmen, that their businesses are not what? They don't make money. They do everything, but they end in losses. They never make progress. It's a spiritual what? Leprosy. And the healing power in the church, in the preaching and prayer and anointing, can break your yoke. And they shall be set free. The business shall begin to prosper. So don't say the pastor doesn't have what? Anointing that the people are lame are working. There's anointing in the church. If only you have eyes to see, you see God is moving. By what? Through faith. The third one, the fourth one is what? The deaf word, hear. People cannot even hear the gospel. There are people in the church, they have been in the church for 30 years, they never hear the gospel. There are towns. I was in a city in this place, Bimbila. And there are many churches. And I went to deal with a power in Bimbila. And the Lord told me that, my son, they have never heard the gospel before. So go and open the door. Let them hear. The spiritual ears to be open. And then the Lord told me, I should get somebody who can interpret my message in the original dialect of the people in Bimbila. There are many churches there. But the Lord was telling me that Bimbila people have never heard the gospel. So if you want to, you can find other people say they are Christians, Southerners and others. And there may be Bimbila people, but they are not hearing what? The gospel. And the Lord said, break that power. But there was a covenant between the Bimbila people and Satan. You have to deal with the power of Satan. You have to break the chain. And you have to open their ears to see. Hallelujah. And the Lord told me what to do. And there was an Assemblies of God pastor's wife who has never interpreted a preacher before on a crusade ground. And the Lord told me, lay hands on that woman in front of the people. There's nobody who can interpret me. But the wife, the husband is not from the place. But she is a wife, a Bimbila woman. And the Lord said, lay hands on her before the people. And we lay hands on her before the people. My brothers, when you say in one sentence, the woman will say three of them in the Bibilan language. The anointing was explosive. She was Bibila in the Bibilas. Praise the Lord. And what was the anointing word? Broke and make the deaf word hear. I had my own grand aunt who had been a senior presbyter of the Presbyterian church in my village for years. And I was having a crusade in Somina, she came. And she told me, my son, I've never heard the gospel. This is the first time I've heard the gospel. I've never heard the gospel before. She's a presbyteress where? In the church. And has been in the church for years, but she has never heard the gospel. There can be a healing in the church. The dead are what? Raised. So it is not the dead physically alone, but the dead what? Spiritually, that can be raised. As we preach the gospel, people can be raised from the dead. Because all those who are not saved, they are what? They are dead. And they can be raised. If somebody is practicing religion, he's dead. He can be raised. He's in a coffin, ready for burial. But he can be raised. But there can be a physical also what? Dead raised. Both in a minute. So the healing ministry should not be only seen with the leg, but it's a broader, deeper. That's what we are trying to say by the Jesus model on Matthew 11 and 5. Finally, he says what? The poor have the gospel preached on today. A healing ministry must have the gospel preached. Not just you go and demonstrate healing and then the gospel is not preached. You take a scripture and then you preach for 15 minutes and then there are, I don't like those ones. The next 3 hours is testimonies. This man said this and that's why. And the people are there, it becomes a magic show or, you know, they are just seeing miracles, things that have happened. But the people will be there for 4 or 3 days and they will not hear what? The gospel. But the poor. And who are the poor? It's not people who don't have money. Who are poor where? In the spirit. Blessed are the poor what? In spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the gospel must be preached. Whatever situation, the ministry of healing in any church, there should never be the loss of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel must be preached. So you go up preaching the gospel and you accompany with what? Signs of healing, deliverance, etc. Amen. Beloved, finally, we must conclude by saying that Jesus Christ, as the Word of God, Savior and Healer, is a divine person and of divine origin. In Exodus 15, 26, the Lord God, Jehovah, assured his people of Israel that he is the healer and the answer to the problems of sin and the consequence of disobedience of the commandments of God. And he said, and if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the disease on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who what heals you. Exodus 15, 26. So the healing, as we did tonight, can come to a nation that has ignored the commandments of God, that are practicing evil and wicked things. A nation that is corrupt. The people are corrupt. The government is corrupt. Business, everything is corrupt. That's a nation that cannot stand. I have just written an article on that. Righteousness, and the Lord told me, the Soviet Union, in their heydays, was a mighty power, world power, second world power. But that government was that nation was corrupt. The government was corrupt. The economy was corrupt. And the only thing they were able to keep the economy going was the military presence. Men, machines, and weapons of war were the only thing that they kept the Soviet Union. But they were morally bankrupt. Morally, socially, there was a moral decay. Moral, everything, they were only making it look as if they were good by military power. They have advanced in science and technology than many nations, yet Soviet Union fell. And the military power that they had, the guns could not stop the fall of the nation. Because the guns cannot enter into the hearts of men and change them. You cow the nation. You keep the people under compulsion. And there's fear. They lack even courage to do anything. The nation will go and bankrupt. Soviet Union fell. And the Lord was there. Let the nations know. Let Ghana know that corruption and corrupt government and corrupt economy, when they want to maintain corruption and corrupt government by military power, the nation will collapse. And their military power, your oil is nothing compared to Soviet Union oil. Our science and technology is nothing. And if Soviet Union, a big power, fell, Ghana must know that it is dangerous at this stage to have corruption in such a magnitude. The whole government is corrupt. Churches are corrupt. Educational systems are corrupt. Businessmen are corrupt. The marketplace is corruption. There's no future for such a country. And the earlier we pray to get healing and to bring deliverance to this nation, the better. Tonight we prayed. I want to thank God for you that Jesus was God. When they spoke in the Old Testament that the Lord, I'm the Lord who heals you. It was the word of God. And who is the word of God? Jesus Christ. Beloved, the Christ divine healing ministry is proof of divine package of remission of sins, redemption, and deliverance of peoples and nations. I am the Lord that heals thee has been proved to be true. He's not just a savior. He can heal diseases and abate all the consequences of sin that befall the human race. That proves that he is a divine person who indeed heals his people in spiritual, social, and practical sense. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, opens the Holy Spirit's testimony about Jesus Christ, the Messiah and the healer, before he was born and he became flesh as a man, saying, who has what? Believed our report. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Where do you stand today with the Spirit testimony about Jesus Christ as healer? Do you believe this? If you believe, receive your sight. If you believe and you are a layman, walk, stand up and walk today. If you believe, now once you are what? Blind. Today what? See. If you were sick and afflicted by all kinds of disease, by his what? Stripes, today you are healed and delivered. If you were dead, today I say what? Rise up and walk, O dead man. Amen. 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 God bless you all.
He shall reign over his people, and he'll be their God.